All right, if you have your Bibles, take and turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. I'm continuing tonight or picking back up. We've been off for several weeks on the home and home builders, and I'm still dealing with the husbands. So, still there. We're picking back up where we left off. So, some of it might be a little bit of a recap from where I ended up last time, but I don't remember where I left off, so we're going to pick back up the last place I know I did cover. So some of it might be a recap, but I believe we need it. I need it. John chapter number 5 and verse number 22 is the first verse we'll read. So what we've been dealing with in the home, you've heard it say before that everything rises and falls on leadership. And in a home that God's going to be pleased with, the order must be right. God is a God of order. He's a God of structure. And that order has to be right. The order of submission has to be right. And we know that above all and above everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on what He is to do for the home, because He's doing everything He's supposed to do. Next in line is the husband, the father, the mother, the spouse, and then the children, and then the dog, and then the goldfish, and so on. And so we've been looking at those things. So we've been looking at the husband and his responsibility in the home and his pattern. God has a pattern for the church. He has a pattern for the home. And we've been looking at those things. So what we left off on is the husband is to be the protector of his wife. He's supposed to protect his wife from physical harm. And I believe that every man in this church would do that for their wife. They would protect him from physical harm. Amen. Even if he's taking out the mean dog down the road. Remember, Brother Bowen? They're going to protect him from physical harm. We're supposed to protect our wives from social harm, from society, the harm that is there. Protect our home and our family and our wife from spiritual harm. You realize that it is not just a pastor's job and my job or Sunday school teacher's job to teach our home spiritually. It's the husband's job. He's supposed to guide his children in his home. But the last thing that we began to look at was, husbands, we're supposed to protect our wife from mental and emotional harm. John chapter 5 and verse number 22, the reason why I wanted you to see this here is everything that we do, Jesus Christ is the head of everything. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the home. And it's supposed to be that way. He is going to be the one, husbands, that judges us. We are to be into submission to Him. We're supposed to obey Him, obey His word, and He is the one that's going to judge us on how we did. Look at John chapter 5, verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto what? The Son. So He will be the one. Jesus Christ is the one, man, wife, children. He's the one that we have to answer to. And we are all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, at the judgment seat of Christ, and give an answer for how we reacted and obeyed the Word of God and whether or not we had our place in the family like we're supposed to. We have to give an answer for that. So we talked about some of the spiritual harm that can come to our family and talked about television shows and all those kind of things. And it's our responsibility, the music that comes into our home, the movies that come into our home, the language, whatever. It's our responsibility to protect our home and our family. We're not going to be able to stand before God and tell them, well, I told them not to do it, but they did it anyway. Amen. We're still going to have to give an account for it. And sometimes you have no control over what they end up doing. You still have to give an account for it. And we'll have to stand before God and give an account for everything that takes place. The father must protect what goes into his wife and his children's ears. It's our responsibility. And we're going to stand before God. And a lot of men are going to have to stand before God and say, God, my hands were tied because she was going to do whatever she wanted to do, but we're still going to stand in judgment. That's just a fact. just like as a pastor, I'm going to have to stand for our church. Amen? So we're supposed to protect them. And the last thing was we're supposed to protect them from mental and emotional harm. You know, today, and I believe I said this last time, some of this, I'm kind of remembering, but it's the 7, 8, 9 year old kids that are running the homes. In most homes, it's the 3, 4, 5 year olds that are running the homes. If they're not happy, nobody's happy. If they have a bad attitude, everybody's got a bad attitude. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. We have to protect from harmful attitudes in the homes. There's homes today that are filled with ungodly attitudes. There's anger, there's bitterness, there's all kinds of things going on. And husbands, it's our responsibility to make sure that that atmosphere is not in our home. And they say, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, that's not scriptural. Amen? It's not. And husbands, it's our job to try to protect from that. Some parents actually believe their children can do absolutely no wrong. And that's a mistake. Amen? They start out little, man, and they got everything. And I believe I've said this before, but, man, it bugs me that to hear a child say a dirty word and they think it's cute. You ever seen that before? They'll get them to repeat it. Hey, say that again. Lord help you. You need to go to a funny farm. Be put in a white coat with your arms tied to your side. Because it's not so funny when they're 15 years old cussing your wife out. Those words are not cute anymore. It's not cute anymore. And you would never, ever allow drugs and alcohol and all those things in your home. You say, I would never allow that in my home. If you allow rock and roll music in your house, you're introducing drugs and alcohol to your home. And you've got to watch out for that. It's our job, husband. It's our job. It's our responsibility to watch out for those things, to protect them, and to be able to protect their minds. The devil is after your child and your wife's mind. He's after your mind, husband. You don't think he's after your mind? Go try to look up some car parts on the internet and see what just pops up in advertisement. I don't know what that woman has to do with buying a Mustang part. But she's there. Am I right? You can't buy a car magazine. I don't know if people buy magazines anymore with the internet. But they use all that stuff for advertisement. And the devil is after your mind. And you don't think he's after your mind? He is. And he's after your wife's mind and your children's mind. And everything we allow into our home, he's going to use to try to get after their mind. So that takes a lot of work. Yes, it does. It does. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You say, what's his devices? Whatever he can use to get into your home. And he's going to do that any way possible that he can. He's going to try to get into that home. You say, how can a father protect his family from mental and emotional harm? Well, one thing is finding out who their friends are and who influences them. And that goes for our wives and our children. And I know this isn't popular at all, because there's women that says, my husband is not going to tell me who I can talk to. That's the mentality of the world today. But at a biblical home, the husband needs to know. Because if her friends are gossipers, guess what she's going to be? Gossipers. If they're running down their husband, guess what she's going to do eventually? Run down her husband. And that breeds in these kind of things. And it's the same way with men. You got to watch who you hang out with and who your friends are. There's a lot of things that we're responsible for. We got to watch out for ourselves and our family. And it's a very important thing, but we've got to protect them from emotional harm. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpeneth iron, like the countenance of a man. You know, that works both ways. I could hang out with good, godly men that love God and they love the Bible. And if I stay around them and I fellowship with them, it rubs off and I want to go do those things. Amen? I enjoy getting around folks that want to go soul winning. It makes you want to go. People that love the Bible want to talk about it. It makes you want to do those things. Well, the exact opposite is true. If you hang around people all the time that are bitter, they're angry, they're running down their husbands, they're running down their kids, they're running down those things. If you continue to hang out, you'll just sit there and sharpen one another. But you're sharpening for the wrong reason. And that can happen. So you've got to monitor who our families, our wives, and our children, who their friends are, what they're watching, what comes on television, what they're reading. All those things will affect the home. And you say that's hard to do. I know, but it's our responsibility. We're going to stand before God and give an account. And most men will take the route to say, it's not worth the fight, I'm not doing it. But we still got to stand and give an account to God. There's a lot of ladies that believe and think that their husbands are not spiritual enough to watch out for their welfare. And I've had them tell me that before. Well, if my husband was more faithful to church and if he read his Bible like he was supposed to, then he can tell me who I can talk to. Well, she's wrong. That's the wrong attitude to have, because now you're not right with God. And he will have to stand and account for everything that he does and every decision that he makes. If he's making it and he's not right with God, you say, how do I get out of it? Pray that God kills him. If you're not happy and you're miserable, amen, you married him, pray God kills him. And if he doesn't, then you just submit and obey and do and go along, and God will bless you. God will take care of him. Amen. The point is making sure your heart is right with God in the area of the home that you fit into. It's the husband's responsibility to see that the attitudes, the character traits, and all those things that are negative and bad attitudes and all those things are out of the home, so that we have a home that pleases God. And another thing, husband, a lot of times the bad attitude or the stressfulness that's put on a wife is because the children do not respect her. That happens a lot, and that brings stress into the home. And it ought to be in our home that if the wife tells the children to do something, it's just like as if the dad was saying it. It's the same consequence. A lot of times the mom will get beat down and pushed over and talked back to and pushed around by the children, and the dad lets that go on. Husband, you should not let that go on. Whenever she says stop it, it ought to be just like you said stop it. And I don't know what it is in children, especially boys, but they have within them to try to rebel against everything. I mean, an example in my home, and I got to put this into practice. Elijah, and he's not in here. I don't want to embarrass him. Elijah tries to push his limit with my wife all the time, and that's something I'm dealing with right now. Just being transparent. He tries to get, I mean, he gives her. Now, if I go in there and say, Elijah, stop it, he stops on a dime. But when I'm not there, sometimes she has a hard time with that. But I'm trying to teach him. I don't care if mommy says to stop it, you stop immediately, just like as if I told you. There'll be the same consequences if you don't. And they need to learn those things. I heard a man say one time that a boy growing up, it's built into him to not listen to women. And so if he doesn't respect and obey his mom, it's okay. That's just how God made him. And I don't believe that one bit. As long as he's living in that home, he obeys and respects her and does not talk back to her, it ain't happening. Amen? That's not, as long as he's in that home, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this right. Honor thy father and mother. And it doesn't put an age limit on it. If he's 22 years old and still living at home, he still respects her and obeys her and does not talk down to her. I mean, you wouldn't take it too kindly if your grown son came up and talked to you that way. You'd probably knock him out. Amen? Well, why would somebody let them talk to their wife that way? Amen? These are things that we must protect our family from these harms. I see children talk back to their parents all the time. I see it all the time. Everywhere I go, I could go to other churches. Sometimes I see it here. Sometimes I see it when I'm at Walmart, and I'll see them talk back to their parents. You say, what's talking back? It's anything other than yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Anything other than that is talking back. And I'm trying to teach my children that, hey, the first response is yes, sir. Daddy, I understand what you just said, but can I ask you a question? That's the proper way to do it. Because if they want to clarify something that I just got onto them for something, said, hey, quit doing that. Stop doing that. The first answer is yes, sir, Daddy. Daddy, I got a question for you. Okay, what's the question, Ella? Mommy said we could do this. All right, that's the right way to do it. Not, Mommy said we could do this as the first response. Amen. That's just an example, but I see it happen all the time. And man, it drives me nuts when I hear a kid say, yeah, no. That drives me nuts. I don't care. When they first start talking, they ought to be trained to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That ought to be the response. It teaches them respect, and that they should never be allowed to talk back. And husbands, that's our responsibility to make sure that happens. We have to protect them for those things. All right, just for a few minutes, I got about 20 minutes left. Five major causes of emotional harm in a wife. Five causes of depression in women that take place all the time, and husbands, they miss it, they don't look out for it, and they need to try to help their wives in these areas. All right, so I'll give you the five things. Number one is low self-esteem. Is low self-esteem. Whenever she feels like she's worthless, she feels like she has no purpose in society, she thinks the world is passing her by, all that she does is sit at home. What is she worth to anybody? All she is a doormat. That causes emotional stress and pain to her. And a part of your job is protecting her from that emotional stress. And sometimes she's just doing what God told her to do. She's staying at home raising children or whatever the case might be. But she feels that way. You said, what do I do? Why don't you tell her thank you sometimes? Why don't you tell her that you think she's the most beautiful thing in the whole world? She's the most beautiful person in the world. You know, little things, comments, and things that you can do to make her feel like she's welcome. Thank you. Notice when something changes. Notice when you get home and there's something different in the house. Pay attention to things. Pay attention. And I'm up here preaching this. These are things I have to work on. I know that. Amen. But just, you know, those things like that, and we're talking about protecting her from these emotional harms, mental and emotional harms. A husband, you know, I've heard it said before that the husband should make her feel like she is the queen of the castle. And you know what she does in return? She makes him feel like he's the king of the castle. Protecting her from these emotional harms. And I understand. In some cases, the wife and the husband works. I understand that, and they got to work together. If that's the case, they got to work together in that home. It's still her, that house is still her responsibility, even if she has a secular job. That's still her responsibility. But if she's working and that has to be the case, then you need to help. You need to pitch in and help out. Try to do something to make her feel like she's not worthless, of no real value. A person who feels like they are worthless, their head is straight for the bottom. And they get in depression. And I'll tell you what, the world and the devil has come up with all kind of medicines. And most of them, I mean, there's a lot of these things that are dealing with depression. And there's more Christians today on depression medicine than there probably ever has been. They're on this stuff. They say, here, take this pill, Brother Bone. It's going to help you with depression, but you'll have explosive diarrhea and thoughts of suicide. among other things. They got all these side effects. They're coming up with all these things, but low self-esteem. There's nobody in the world that can make your wife feel as special as you can. Nobody. I mean, just little things that you can do to try to make her know she's appreciated. I know. I used to think, well, all women like flowers. I guess there's some that don't like flowers. Whatever it is that she likes, it might be a piece of cheesecake or a brownie or something. I don't know what it is. But every now and again, show up with it. Just, I want to tell you that I appreciate you. I appreciate you standing behind me. I appreciate you letting me lead the home and letting her know. Low self-esteem is one of the causes of depression in women. Another area is fatigue and time pressure. Fatigue and time pressure. They feel like they're home all day, or they're working and they're trying to take care of children or whatever the case might be. Some of them are even working. And I'm here to tell you right now that I cannot do what my wife does. If she leaves me for one day with the children, she comes back and I'm saying, I love you so much. I thank you for everything you do. You're the man. I don't know how she does it. Every single day, I'm thankful for my wife. You know, she can get beat down physically, fatigue and time pressure and all those kind of things, and end up running her down. And she's running kids around and cooking and cleaning and doing all these things and trying to have a meal ready for her husband and doing all those things. And those things can just drag and drag and drag on her. And there's a lot of women that just feel beat down. I've heard the illustration before, but I've also seen it. At some churches I've been to where a whole family will pull up and the man will get out of the car and he's got his Bible in his hand and he comes walking through the front door and she's got three diaper bags on and kids hanging on both hips and one dragging behind, and she just looks like she is beat down, wore out to nothing. And he comes walking in like, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" Amen. These are things, like I said, I've had to try to learn. And they get beat down. And the husband should take time to help his wife and every now and again give her a break. Amen. Hire a babysitter or something and get a break if you can find a good babysitter. A man feels like he might work all the time, but she has a 24/7 job if she's got children. And then taking care of you also. Amen. There's little things that I realize that, you know, again, I get convicted teaching on this stuff because I see things I need to do better. I mean, I do. She's taking care of the kids all the time. And there's little things that we do sometimes, or I do. I'm confessing faults, I guess. You know, leaving shoes laying in the middle of the living room. You know. I mean, just little things. She's working to get this thing done. And next thing I know, I realize, because I'm, you know, I feel like, man, I've been working all day. Okay. What has she been doing all day? Because I'm telling you, she's gone off the ladies meeting and me keep the kids for 2 or 3 days. She works all day. And she doesn't get the clock out. And so there's little things we can do to help with some of those stresses. All right, I'm gonna stop right there, and then we're gonna pick up next week and look at a few other ones, Lord willing. All right, let's all stand. You know, another little note I have here on housekeeping and stuff like that, that a lot of times ladies try to be crafty and they try to do what they can to make that house what it needs to be. And sometimes the men won't equip them to be able to do that. You know, give them the things they need to make that house how they like it. That, you know, that's the place God gave them to keep. We need to help them to be able to keep it the way God wants them to. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being our Father and our friend, Lord. I thank you.